Hi, I'm Robert Green, and welcome to a Halloween edition of Visual Studio Toolbox. It's a Halloween edition because it just happens to be Halloween the day we're taping this. So happy Halloween to everybody, particularly those of you in the Northeast who have to trudge through the snow to go trick-or-treating. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is code analysis. And the project I have open is Gizmo Ball, and this is a little bit of a recurring theme in the show, just to refresh everybody's memories. The first couple episodes of this show, I showed the productivity power tools, and the solution that I used was Gizmo Ball, which is a WPF-based little game. And I got some questions or some comments from people that said, you know, you should choose a project where you enforce naming conventions, because if you look at this code, you can see that there are public methods like remove interval, and there's others, add interval list, that start with lowercase letters. And so I said, oh yeah, I write my code that way. I didn't write this code, so I didn't have to take the blame for it. But yes, I write code that has, where methods have capital letters, and yeah, I should change this. And then I looked at the project, and there's an awful lot of code in here, and I said, yeah, I should change it, but I'm not going to, because there's no way I'm going to do this by hand. So in the previous episode of the show, I brought Mark Miller of DevExpress on, and he showed us how to write a CodeRush plugin that would do all that work for us. Right? He wrote this plugin, and in a matter of seconds, it went through the code and converted all the lowercase method names to proper case, and then it did a couple other things with public methods, and that's great for taking this project that didn't live up to the naming conventions and convert it over so that it does. Which immediately begs the question, well, how do you prevent this in the first place? So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at code analysis. And code analysis basically is a tool inside Visual Studio, and we'll see that you can run it both inside Visual Studio and externally, that will analyze your code and see if it conforms to standards. So the next question is, if you're going to analyze your code, what are you comparing it to? You're going to compare it to standards. And standards are basically rules that you create or that you adopt, or some combination of the two, that says, this is how we're going to code. You should do this, you should do this, you should do this, bunch of rules, and then we're going to look at how you can use Visual Studio to analyze your code and see which of the rules you violated. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a simpler project. I'm going to come back to Gizmo Ball. Let's start off with a smaller project. This is the link to XML demo solution that I used a couple episodes ago to read XML from the web and to write XML. So what I want to be able to do is analyze this. And if I'm using Visual Studio Premium or Ultimate, code analysis is built into the product. If I'm not using Premium or Ultimate, then there's a standalone tool called FXCop that you can use, and we're going to look at that in a little bit. So the first thing I can do is come into Analyze, and I can configure code analysis at the solution level or the project level. If I do it at the solution level, then I get the property pages, and what I can do is select a rule set. Visual Studio ships with about 200, I think it is, rules, and they're grouped into rule sets. So things like all rules, basic correctness, basic design guideline, then extended for those, globalization, minimum, and security rules. So I can select a rule set, or what I can do is, if I select the project, I can configure code analysis for the project, and then this gives me a little bit more information on what those rule sets are. Because the first time you see those rule sets, you're going to say, okay, what do these mean? In the project designer, I can see that all rules is all rules, of course. Basic correctness, logic errors and common mistakes, design guidelines, make your code easy to understand and use. Then there's extended correctness, globalization. Minimum is looking for the most critical problems in your code, including security holes, application crashes, and then you can just look for security rules. Now, to learn a little bit more about these, you can click Learn More About Rule Sets. And that will take us out to the documentation and this using rule sets to group managed code analysis rules. If we scroll down to code analysis rule set reference for managed code, here are the rule sets. Okay, and then within each rule set, here are the actual rules. So in basic correctness, enums should have zero value, do not ignore method results, etc. So again, there's about 200 of these. Now, rules enforce standards. Where are the actual standards? Well, we can go over to the Design Guidelines for Developing Class Libraries, which is under the .NET Framework 4 category under General Reference for the .NET Framework, and we can see that there are guidelines for names. So naming, capitalization, what do you call your namespaces? There's also type design guidelines. So choosing between classes and structures, guidelines for designing static classes and interfaces. There are member design guidelines. So guidelines for member overloading, property design, event and field design, operator overloads. There's designing for extensibility, which if you are, is very important. Whoop, what happened? There we go. And then there's design guidelines for exceptions. So guidelines for handling exceptions, for throwing exceptions. And then finally, usage guidelines, array, attribute, etc. So I highly recommend you take some time and read up on the guidelines and then play around with the various rule sets. Okay, so now that's a little high-level overview on what the guidelines are, on what the standards are that Microsoft used to build the .NET framework. So that's a great place to start. You may modify it, you may add to it. I suppose you could create your own entirely from scratch, but we're just going to use the ones that are built into the product. And then what we can do is we can say, choose a particular rule set. All right, so I'll choose minimum recommended rules on my link to XML demo project. I'll save this. And then there are three ways that I can actually do the analysis. I can go to Project, and wasn't there in Project? No, it's in Build, excuse me. Build, run code analysis on the project, or Analyze, run code analysis on the project, or right-click on the project and run code analysis. You can never have too many ways to select things in Visual Studio, of course. So I'm now going to run the code analysis using the minimum recommended rules, catching the most critical problems in my code. I'll run this. The project builds. This variable ex is declared but never used is that happens when I build the project. And the code analysis returns nothing, which is good. I wrote a simple little demo to get some XML from websites and write some XML. I shouldn't have critical security issues in here. Okay, let's do another one. Let's choose basic correctness rules. You'll save this and run code analysis. And nothing. Okay, that's good. Let's see, what else? Just check my notes. I always write out my little demo script here to make sure that I haven't skipped anything. Let's do basic design guideline rules. So enforcing best practices to make your code easy to understand and use. There's got to be some violations in here. I mean, my code works, but it can't possibly be perfect. I build this. Okay, now I have some issues. So I can see that I should mark the assembly as CLS compliant. I can see that I should consider making these fields non-public or a constant. So if I double-click on app.flickrkey and call this back up. So I made it a public static string because I want it to be available in other places. Well, I should consider making this non-public or a constant. Okay? All right, that's interesting. Now, the question is why? So I want to get more information on CI-2211. There's a couple ways that I can go out and get more information on this. I mean, I believe I should do that, but I'd kind of like to know why. One way I can do this is to go back into the Project Designer and open up this rule set. Okay, so I see this rule set, and actually if I go back to the error list, I can see that this is in usage, the usage category, Microsoft.usage. So under usage, here are all the rules for that, and the one I'm looking for specifically is 2211. So if I come down to 2211 and select this, then Visual Studio will go out to the MSDN library and bring back the information. Non-constant fields should be visible. Okay. Why? Rule description. Static fields are blah, blah, blah. And is it going to tell me why? Static fields, camera requires, these are difficult. Okay, static fields are best used to store data that does not change. Okay. And I'm looking for more information about why I'm not. Okay, for that one, I'm not seeing as good an explanation as I was kind of hoping for. All right, let's go and look at other ones. Change the type of property movie.url from string to system URI. If I double-click on that, I see that in my movie class, I've got two URL properties that are strings. And the advice here is that these should be of type URI. Same thing with my post class. Okay, I could do that. All right, then I've got a number in here of catching a more specific exception. So if I double-click on this, I see that because this is a sample application, I just caught the generic exception, any exception, because what I was doing was trying to see if I got the link to XML query correct. And if it didn't work, then I would go find out why. And I wasn't really concerned with why it didn't work. What exact exception was it? Who cares? All I know is if I get the query wrong, the code's going to blow up. So I caught the exception, looked at the message. Well, for a simple demo, that's fine, but for a production caliber application, this is pretty good advice. I should catch more specific exceptions. Okay? All right, so let's go back here. Now, there's an option to suppress results from generated code. I'm going to check that and then rerun this analysis and see what happens. Notice that I don't get as many warnings. So I get the two URL ones and I get the CLS compliant one, but I didn't get anything else. And notice that the errors are in the actual project level and then my two classes, movie and photo. Whereas if I uncheck suppress results from generated code and do the analysis, then I get the errors in the XAML.cs files. So this suppress results from generated code was put in there in case you are using libraries, using either a code generator or using libraries with code written by somebody else. But in this case, it actually hides code that I wrote, the code that's in the XAML.cs. So certainly for a XAML application, you should uncheck that. You can also choose to enable code analysis on build, and then when I build this, I don't have to go then and run the code analysis. I kind of get the results immediately. Did it do it? Oh, maybe if I save it first. Oh, that's interesting. Visual Studio is misbehaving. Okay, well, when you enable code analysis on build, that's supposed to happen automatically. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's look at all rules. So I'm going to select all rules, save this, and run the code analysis. So this is absolutely every rule. And now I get additional ones. I have 33 warnings all told. Several in naming, like correct the casing of link in the namespace name. Well, when I wrote this application, I called it link to XML demo. And literally, I should have used a capital L, lowercase inq, and then a capital X and a lowercase ml. So I have violated this naming convention. I also put underscores in the namespace because there's a VB version and a C-sharp version of this, and my convention is I like the project name, link to XML demo, underscore VB or underscore C-sharp, because I like the VB or the C-sharp separated a little bit from the project name. That's a violation of this rule. So I could decide at this point, do I care? Well, guess what? I don't want to be told about underscores and namespaces. So I'm going to right-click on this, and I'm going to suppress the message in the project suppression file. So I'm going to say, don't warn me about that anymore. Okay, and then what else? Ah, here's one. Correct the spelling of Flickr in member name Flickr key. Well, guess what? Flickr is spelled correctly. It's not Visual Studio's fault that it doesn't know this, but it is. So I'm going to suppress this as well. I right-click and suppress the message in the source. And then what happens is what Visual Studio does is it adds this attribute, system.diagnostics.codeanalysis.suppressMessage. Where's the message in Microsoft.naming? And which message is it? And now, because I have suppressed both of these, one in code, one at the project level, if I come back here and run the code analysis, again, I had 33 messages. I should now not see 33. There's 31, and the two that I don't want are gone. So if you want to suppress a particular message, you can do it in the error list. You can also do it in code. And of course, if I take this out now, then it will appear. Okay, is there anything else in here that I need to worry about? There's some performance. The compound word .com in member name, wine.com key exists as a discrete term. So it doesn't like the fact that I use .com with a capital D and a capital C. You know what? I'm not going to change that. So you can decide in here. Ah, there's also a bunch of globalization ones. So you can decide which of these errors that you want to learn more about. Things like, where is this, making this static field non-public or a constant? That's interesting. I should learn about that. That's a programming technique that I might want to know more about and decide whether or not to do it. Naming like .com or link with capitals, I'm going to decide for this project that I don't really care, and I'll probably suppress messages for that. Now, in the future, I might stop doing it. I might, the next time I build a project, I might spell link with only a capital L and XML with a capital X, and I might not use underscores. You know, it depends. So I'll reserve the right to change my mind in the future, but I doubt I'm going to come back and change this project. Okay. So, now I've run this, and I've run this a number of times, and the next question I have is, well, can I just print a report of the errors and the warnings? And Visual Studio does that for me automatically. So if I go into the project folder, which is VS Toolbox, code, demo, bin, if I go in here, here is link to XML demo.exe.codeanalysislog.xml. If I double click on that, here's my report of what happened in the code analysis. Okay, so this is just XML, of course. If I open this with Notepad, for example, it's just XML. So what I could do is pull data out of this using link to XML, of course, and then write my own report or log this information. Maybe I write it to a database that I can do reports over time. What messages, what warnings have I had now for 3 weeks and haven't done anything about? Over time, what are the things I tend to do more often than not? Which rule sets do I violate? Which rules do I ignore over and over again? Kind of get a sense of what my weaknesses are, my tendencies as a developer. And another thing, if we open this up, we can see that it uses an XSL file, which is stored in Program Files, Visual Studio, Static Analysis Tools, FX, COP, XML, Code Analysis Report.xsl. So if I don't like the way this looks, I want to do it differently, then I could swap out the XSL file. Okay. What else do we get? All right. One other thing that I want to show is I could assign this as a work item. If I was connected to Team Foundation Server or TFS, I could create a work item out of this, assign it as a bug or a work item, assign it to me, assign it to somebody else. That's a pretty nice feature. Okay, so that's a great way of looking at projects. What we'll do now is, since I promised I would do it, open up Gizmo Ball and let's do this. Let's configure code analysis for the solution. Let's look at absolutely everything. Save those. And then let's go to analyze. It can't actually run code analysis on the whole solution at the same time. You can only do it on each project. So let's run code analysis on engine using all rules. And let's see, 432. Some of which are spelling. Correct the spelling of Gizmo Ball. Exception, not sufficiently specific. Naming. Okay, change parameter name, myloc. Where are the ones? There's a lot in here. Somewhere down here. Name, there it is. Correct the casing of location because it is lowercase, changing it to location. So I could run a rule on 1709 and just get these. Let's see if I can do that. All right, so I'm going to configure code analysis for physics because we're in the physics project. Didn't I ask to configure? Configure code analysis. There we go. And let's go in here. And all I want is naming. So I should be able to uncheck everything in here. And then say I only want 1709. So what I'm going to do is, identifier should have correct suffix. Oh, you know what? Let's just do 1709. Let's uncheck everything in here. This is probably an easier way to do this, but this will work. Save this. Now it's asking me to save this as a rule set because I've modified the existing rule set. And if you looked closely, a Microsoft rule set cannot be modified. So I'm going to create my own rule set, which is 1709 warnings. I'm going to save that. And now, when I come back here, do I get to use it? I can browse for 1709 warnings, and that's what I'm going to use. It's a copy of all rules, but it only has the 1709s if all worked correctly. And now I'm going to run this code analysis on physics, and I only get the 106 1709s in this project, not to mention the ones in all the other ones. Okay, well, that's kind of cool. All right, so let's open up another project. I get a lot of comments on this show about the fact that I'm not a C++ developer, and therefore I show VB and C# more often. And it's not because I don't like C++. Of course I like C++. I just am not a C++ developer. But to show love for the product, here is the Huo Chess Console, which is a C++ application that I got off the All-in-One Code Framework site. And so what I'm going to do is configure code analysis for this solution. We'll start off with all rules. And I'm going to run this. Where is it? It's actually, if you right-click in C++, it's not on the menu. You got to go to Analyze, run code analysis on this C++ project. It gets built, it gets run, and the code analysis shows me hello. There we go. 1,284 warnings, which actually is kind of appropriate given that it's Halloween. That's scary. So what are these? Well, a lot of them are globalization. Okay, so globalization is important. Once we have this game done and ready to be rolled out across the company or worldwide or sold or whatever, we're going to care about globalization. But for now, let's just attack these problems piece by piece. Let's not analyze globalization. So I'm going to configure code analysis for the solution. And I'm actually going to go into the properties and do this under code analysis. And one of my choices is to choose multiple rule sets. Okay, so I'm going to choose extended correctness, extended design, globalization, and I better do security. Okay, so just the extended plus globalization plus security. Not globalization. That was the whole point of coming in here. Excuse me. So the two extendeds and security. And then I'm going to save this as extended and security. And what I would probably wind up doing is creating a common repository for these rule sets. By default, this is getting saved into the Gizmo Ball folder. I would probably have a place to put them, maybe somewhere out on the network. Let's run just extended and security. Okay. Close, save, analyze, run code analysis on this. Oh boy. Okay, let's try this again. Let's go into the project properties, into code analysis. It's extended in security. That's good. Let's build this. Good. Now let's run this. And we had, something like 1,200 or 1,300. We are now down to 153. So the vast majority of those warnings in the basic application are globalization. So the good news is I only have 153 warnings that aren't related to globalization. The bad news is I have about 1,000 or so that are. Okay, so good news, bad news. All right. So now, I mentioned earlier that this analyze menu and the ability to run and configure is a feature of premium and ultimate. What happens if you don't have premium or ultimate? Well, it turns out that there's a standalone tool which came first, in fact, called FXCOP, which you may have heard of. FXCOP, or the framework COP, was a tool originally built by the .NET Framework team to analyze their code, and then there were public versions of it. And that tool has been updated for the .NET Framework 4, and you can get FXCOP. How do you get FXCOP? Well, what you do is you go to MSDN Downloads, and you search for the Windows SDK, SDK for Windows 7. There it is. And you download the Windows SDK for Windows 7 and the .NET Framework 4. And you can install the whole thing. You can install pieces of it. But then it turns out if you go to, I believe it is Program Files, Microsoft SDKs, Windows, here's the version, and you go into FXCOP, you then run FXCOP Setup. And when you run FXCOP Setup, you get FXCOP 10.0. And it's called 10.0 because it is for Visual Studio 2010, more specifically for the .NET Framework 4. Okay, so now we come in with an empty project, and the first thing we're going to want to do is add a target for analysis. So what's the assembly that we want to look at? Let's go back to the link to XML demo. We'll start there. It is in toolbox code bin. Here it is, link to xmldemo.exe. I'll open that. Okay, I can see some of the things that are in it. Okay, what I can also do is click rules, and here are the rule sets. Notice they're similar but a little bit different to the ones that are inside Visual Studio. I still have my design rules, globalization, naming, security, etc. So I can run all of these on this project. Let's do a side-by-side. Let's go back and open up Link to XML Demo in Visual Studio, and let's configure it to work with all rules. And again, let's run this. Thirty-one warnings because this variable ex is declared but never used is not part of the code analysis. So there are 31 things that the managed code analysis found. Let's go over to fxcop, analyze this. 31 messages. What I found is that I don't know that they're literally always exactly the same because the rules in fxcop are, there's no guarantee that they're 100% the same as in Visual Studio, but the overlap should be very, very high. It's essentially the same thing. Okay, so what do we got in here? There are categories or rules. Identifier should be cased correctly. This was the one about change the casing of link all in caps to link with only one capital L. Assembly should have valid strong names. Make this CLS compliant. Okay, do not catch general exception types. I can group these by rules. Here are identifiers should be cased correctly, specify I format provider. So this is a globalization issue, if I'm not mistaken. URI properties. And if there's a specific line of code, then I would be able to go to it. So if I, where's a good one? Those general exception types. So here's the location. And if I have the project open and then click on this, I go right to that line of code, which is right here. If I come back to fxcop, I see the target, the location, the resolution, help. So if I click here, I go to help on that topic, which of course is the specific error. And here it is again, 1031, with more details. Now, this is a design rule, so if I come over here and click design rules, then I can filter this and just see the design rules. Or I could see the specific design rules. So where, let's go back to the top. Let's find this one about the statics. Non-constant fields should not be visible. Okay, which is under usage, Microsoft.usage. So I'm going to select usage. And I'm actually going to expand this. It is, which one? 2211, non-constant fields. Okay. Does it give me additional information? You know, it still doesn't. So let's go and find the help topic on this. Non-constant fields should not be visible. Okay. Maybe it's a different one. There was one that I had in particular knowledge, that particularly remember from practicing that gave me much better information. Okay. So anyway, there's fxcop. Now, we can, under the rules here, you could create, I'm pretty sure you can create your own rules in fxcop. Let's save this project. We'll save it as link to XML demo. Look at me using the right naming convention. And then let's create a new project. Let's add a target. Let's go do the C++ example. Just lost my network connection. I hope I'm not going to need it. Nope, it's not under debug. It's under release. Okay. All right, so let's look at all the rules. Let's run this, and there are 96 messages here. When back in Visual Studio, remember that there were 1,200 or so, right? If I remember correctly, open up the chess console, configure for all rules, save it, and then run, analyze, run. And that's interesting. So FX Cop showed me 96 total, and Visual Studio gave me, come on, 1,284. That's an interesting difference. So I'm not 100% sure why that is. It's certainly something we could look into and try and figure out. Okay, so that's basically what I wanted to show. If you're using Visual Studio Premium or Ultimate, then this FX Cop capability is built in and I would suspect is as robust as it gets. You can configure code analysis, choose from a number of rule sets, and these rule sets are collections of rules. You've seen where to learn more about that, where to learn about each of the individual rules. Some rules you should pay very close attention to. Other rules you might find are optional. You can kind of figure it out. You can create reports, and you can also create reports in FX Cop. Let me show you that. I can save the report as... Actually, let's go back and do the link to XML demo, because I want to show you that it's the exact same thing. So let's save this report as link to XML demo FX Cop report, and then come out to that project. And there it is. It's pretty much the exact same thing using the same XSL file. Okay, so again, we've seen that built into the product, the ability to analyze applications, VB, C#, C++, ASP.NET also, configure, choose from rule sets, create custom rule sets so you can hone in on specific warnings, do everything to catch everything, and then you can run reports. Built into the product if you're using Premium or Ultimate. Otherwise, download FX Cop, use it. I think for VB and C#, it's pretty much the same. For ASP.NET, it's a little bit different because by default, ASP.NET projects don't generate a DLL. So when you go to add target, it's not 100% sure immediately what you're supposed to add. There are ways, are techniques you can use that I won't cover here. You can go look that up if you want. But FX Cop is a nice tool if you don't have the bigger versions of Visual Studio. So check it out. Read up on the design guidelines for class library development. Play around with the code analysis. Get a sense of what issues you're unaware of and should look into. Get a sense of what issues you kind of know you shouldn't do, but you do anyway. Write better code. Happy Halloween, and we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.